Okay, let's begin straight away. Tana Rabbanan, second bottom line, Chavbeis on Beis. Tana Rabbanan haya oimeid b'tfilah. If somebody was in the middle of davening, umayim, this is obviously mayim coming from him, Meir Aglaim, shoisesin is pouring al birkov on his knees. Which means that he's in the middle of davening. It's not that he needs to relieve himself, but he's currently relieving himself. Says the Gemara Pesach. So he must stop. He must stop immediately. Ad sheyichlu hamayim, until the mayim finishes. Yichlu is like what we say on Friday night. Vayichlu hashamayim. Vayichlu means to finish. So until such point, the water is finished, the mayim is finished, he must stop davening. This is obviously for reasons of kavod hatfilah. It is not kavod hatfilah to be davening when the miraglaim is being emitted. Now, what we will have to see, and this will be a discussion in Tosfos, is that why does it help to stop? Meaning, even if he stops such that no Meir Aglaim is being emitted at this particular moment, but if there is Meir Aglaim around him, wouldn't that also be a lack of kavod for tefillah? The Gemara does not say anything about having to clean up or to distance oneself from wherever there might be some remaining Meir Aglaim. So why is that not a discussion? So we'll see in a moment in Tosfos. But for the moment, the Gemara says that at least he must stop davening at the time that the Meir Aglaim is being emitted. Says the Gemara, he stops, Ad sheyichlu hamayim, v'choizer umispalel, and then he can resume his davening. Says the Gemara, Leheichon choizer. Where should he go back to? Where should he go back to? Obviously, there are two possibilities. Either he goes back to wherever he left off, or he has to begin right from the very beginning. Says the Gemara, those are in fact the very two opinions on the table. Leichon Chayza, where did he go back to? Says the Gemara, Rav Chista v'Rav Hamnuna. Rav Chista and Rav Avnuna both express an opinion on this subject. Chad Omar, we have this type of expression very often in the Gemara, that we know who the two Bali Machlekas are, we just don't know who said what. That's why the Gemara says, Chad Omar this, and Chad Omar that. So Rav Chista and Rav Avnuna. Chad Omar Choyzer Leroish. One opinion says, he's got to go back right to the beginning of davening, right to the beginning of his davening. V'chad Omar, and one disagrees, and says, L'mokoim shepasak. He only has to go back to the place that he stopped in. He does not need to resume Shmoneh Esra right from the beginning, doesn't need to restart, rather he just carries on where he left off. Now, the Gemara needs to qualify this. Why does the Gemara need to qualify this? Because whenever we talk about stopping in the middle of performing a mitzvah, which is exactly what's going on over here, because of the Meir Aglaim, he is stopping in the middle of his tefillah, we must always distinguish between two types of stops, or better put, two lengths of stops. And this halacha we find in many areas, not necessarily only in tefillah. You have the type of stop which is so long that in fact the stop is the same time that it would take to perform the entire mitzvah from beginning to end. And then you have a stop, a pause, which is less than that time. So, for example, we're talking about somebody davening. So for argument's sake, let's say his Shmoneh Esrei takes 10 minutes. We must always distinguish, therefore, between a pause, which was longer than 10 minutes, as opposed to shorter than 10 minutes. If the pause is so long that that, in fact, is the time that it would take to be mekayim the whole mitzvah in its entirety, then that type of pause, that type of hafsek, is treated very differently than a hafsek which is less than the time it takes to complete the entire mitzvah. And as I mentioned, this halacha is not only limited to tefillah. The same would be true in Kriyat Shema. Places has a whole discussion with regards to shofar and other mitzvahs. So it applies in many, many cases. So therefore, we now need to know what exactly is the case that we're talking about.
Is there any discussion if he has to clean himself before he chayzer?
Yeah, I just mentioned that. So Tosfos is going to speak about that. The Gemara only talks about having to stop. But what to do with the Meir HaGlayim that may be around him, that is not mentioned in the Gemara, and as we'll see in a moment, it's a machlokes in the bottom Tosfos. We'll see soon. I'll call upon him. For the moment, we're not talking about that. For the moment, we're just talking about halacha number one, that he has to pause. Number two, he resumes either right from the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei or just from where he left off. As I mentioned, because there are two different durations of hefsek, we need to now know which type are we talking about. Says the Gemara, the last few words, and then going on to the next onwards. Lema, let us suggest, which invariably means it will fall away, and we'll come up with something else. Lema, let us suggest, baha kamiflagi. They are arguing about the following. Mar Sovar, one opinion holds, remember, we don't know who holds which. All we know is that it is Rav Chisda and Rav Hanan, remember, we don't know who said what. Mar Sovar, im shoho, if he paused, kedei ligmoir es kula, so long that it was enough to finish the entire Shmoneh Esrei, then Chozer L'Roish, Umar Sova L'Mokoyim Sheposak. In other words, as Rashi is about to explain, we're going to see in a moment, the Gemara is initially suggesting that we are talking about a very lengthy pause. It's so lengthy that it will be sufficient time to finish the entire Shmoneh Esrei. And that's the case where there is a discussion about, do you go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, or can you simply resume from where you left off? But we are not talking about a short-term hefsek for 30 seconds. That is the Gemara's initial suggestion. Look at the very top Rashi. The Mar Sovar Kol Hamapsik the Tfilose. Anybody who is Mapsik his Tfilah, he interrupts his Tfilah, in this case because of the Meir HaGlayim. Im Shoho, if he paused, Kedei Ligmoir Kula, such that he would be able to finish the entire Shmoneh Esrei, then Chozer L'Roish. That's the case where there is an opinion that you have to go back all the way to the beginning. Just as we say, it's a later on. Later on in our perek, we're going to see this, not today, but much later on in the perek, the Gemara says, not with regard to tefillah, but with regard to Kriya Shema, but the same would be true. Imagine you have to interrupt your Kriya Shema in the beginning, in the middle. You have to go to the bathroom, for example, or any other interruption. If the pause is so long that it would be enough time to read the entire Kriya Shema, And when you come back, you've got to begin all over again. Says Rashi, Ubashah, and a pause, this type of pause, Komiflagi Hocha. That is the point of discussion. That is the case that they're having a machlokes about. If you want to know why is there an opinion who seems to be so stringent and holds you've got to go all the way back to the beginning of the tefillah, the answer is because, and this is our initial suggestion, because we're talking about a very lengthy pause. Lengthy for purposes of our discussion means kedei ligmoir kula. Says the Gemara, no, that is unacceptable. Omer Rav Ashi, says Rav Ashi, hi, this case, im shoha, quote unquote, im loy shoha, quote unquote, mi boyale, question mark. He says, I'm not at all satisfied in explaining that we're talking about shoha. Shoha, as we explained, means a very lengthy pause. Because if that's true, then why did the Braisa not specify that? Why did the Braisa not say, im shoha? Then the din would be as follows. The im loy shoha, if the pause was not so lengthy, then the din would be different. Why did the Braisa, when bringing this initial din, why did nobody ever make a distinction? Look at Rashi. Hi, im shoha, if he did pause, or im loy shoha, mi boyale, we would have been required to mention it. The milsa, the rechista, the Rav Hunna. In the matter of rechista, the Rav Hunna, where they have this discussion about, do you have to go back to the beginning or not? Mi boyale, they should have, le'ifluge argued, they should have clearly made a distinction, bein shaha, le'loi shaha. If you're telling me we're talking about a very specific case of shaha, which means a lengthy pause, so why did they not differentiate as such? Why did they not specify, we are talking about if there was a lengthy pause, if however there was not a lengthy pause, then the din would be otherwise. Says Rashi, umidaloi iflig, and because they did not make that differentiation, so what do I understand from that? Shma mino, I would learn from there, that afilu b'dalai shaha ka'omar, that he means to say that even if you did not have a lengthy pause, the din would nonetheless be the same. Because were it to be different, then surely he would have spelled it out. So if one of the opinions says you've got to go all the way back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esra, and you're telling me he only ever said that because we're talking about a very lengthy delay, and I'm sorry, that's very unfair. Why did he not finish off the sentence by saying, but if, however, it was a short delay, then the din would be otherwise, and you would not have to go back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esra. So what does it sound like? That no, you would have to go back in all cases. Says the Gemara, Elo. We always enjoy an Elo. Elo, a backtrack. We cannot therefore try to establish that we're talking about a case of shoha, a lengthy pause. Rather, to the contrary. Elo, de kulei alma. All opinions agree that im shoha kedei ligmoir es kula, if indeed the delay was so lengthy that you have time in that pause to finish the entire tefillah, everybody agrees, chayzer l'roish. You would have to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esra. Nobody disagrees with that. Not as we just tried to suggest a minute ago that that was the machlokes. No, that's not the machlokes. If you had a very lengthy pause, you had to stop until the Meir HaGlayim finished, and it took more than 10 minutes, all opinions would agree, that's it. You've lost your Shmoneh Esrei, and you'd have to go back to the beginning. That's not the discussion. So when is they, when are they having a discussion? The Hassan, and over there, the Deloi Shahokam Miflagi, with the emphasis on the word Loi, underline the word Loi. Not as you thought that we're having a discussion about Shoho, a lengthy pause. To the contrary, a lengthy pause, there is no discussion. You definitely have to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei. We're talking about B'dalai Shoho. There was no lengthy pause. There was no lengthy pause. The pause was only for a minute. That is when Komiflagi, that is when they're having a machlokes. Now, the Gemara must explain that, and the Gemara does explain that. Why? Because if indeed we're talking about a case of B'daloi Shoho, as the Gemara has just now established, we're talking about a very brief pause. So if indeed the pause is very brief, where's the big question mark? Why on earth is there an opinion that says you've got to go all the way back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei? Surely the rule is, as Rashi just taught us, we learn this by Kriya Shema and with regard to other mitzvahs, that you only have to start all over again for a lengthy pause. And again, lengthy means so long that you would have had enough time to finish the entire mitzvah. And you told me that no, if that were to be the case, everybody would agree that you have to go back to the beginning. That's not the discussion. So what is the discussion? B'dalai Shoho, a very brief pause. Which the obvious question becomes, so why is there even one opinion that says you've got to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei? So the Gemara explains. B'dalai Shoho Kamiflagi. We're actually talking about where there is no lengthy pause. It's a very brief pause. So why should this be considered, according to one opinion, so chomor? Why does he have to go back to the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei? Says the Gemara. The Mar Sovar, one opinion holds, Gavra Dechuyo. Gavra, what does Gavra mean? Gavra means the person. Dechuyo. How do you translate Dechuyo? Dechuyo literally translated means to push away, rejected. The person is rejected. Gavra Dechuyo who? The person is rejected from davening. We'll explain this. V'ein ro'u, and is not in a fit state to daven. Therefore, v'ein tfilosoi tfilo. What does that mean? Gavra duchuyohi. So this is a very, very important halacha, which the Gemara is now going to discuss at length. As we know, and this is the makor of it, besides for the halacha of not davening at the actual moment when the Meir HaGlayim is leaving the guf, but it doesn't begin then, so too one is not supposed to daven if one feels an urge for Meir HaGlayim to leave the guf. That's also considered a lack of kavod for tefillah, which all of a sudden therefore changes, or at least can change, the entire equation over here. Yes, the actual time that the Meir HaGlayim was leaving the guf was perhaps a very short pause, only for a minute or two. But probably, for the minutes leading up to that, he was also in a state where he was unfit to daven. And that's called Gavra Dechuya. The person is rejected, meaning the person is not in a fit state to daven. Now, just like, for example, we saw on the previous Omud, remember we saw that if somebody davens and it turns out there was Tzoya in his proximity. So what's the halacha? The Gemara says, essentially, you've got to daven again. We discussed this at great length last week. We said it depends. It's only if there were actually grounds for concern that Tzoya was there in the first place, not if it came as a total surprise. But at least in the case where it was not a total surprise, he's got to daven again. Now, why does he have to daven again? The answer is, remember those two words that we saw last week in the Gemara? Tfilosoi toyeiva. His tefillah is considered to be abomination. It's such a lack of kavod for tefillah, the fact that he could daven in a place where they had this soya which was giving an unpleasant odor, etc., in close proximity, that invalidates the entire tefillah. Even if he davened the entire thing from beginning to end, he's got to daven all over again. So we see a precedent for somebody davening in a state which is considered to be a lack of kavod, and that will passel the whole tefillah. Now, the case that we're dealing with is not exactly the same. The first case was when there was tzoya in his proximity. Here there is no tzoya, but the person himself is perhaps considered non-fitting, rejected, duchuyo. He is davening in a state which is deemed unfit to daven. And that's why he's got to daven again. So therefore, this answers our question. Yes, he only had a brief pause. If he had a lengthy pause, a 10-minute pause, everybody would agree you've got to repeat the whole of Shmoneh Esrei again. That's not the case that they're discussing. What is the case that they're discussing? They're discussing where the pause was very brief. So as we said, if that's the case, then that opinion needs explaining. If the pause was very brief, why would anybody hold you've got to repeat the whole of Shmoneh Esrei? The answer is because we've got to look at not only the time when the Miraglaim was leaving the Guf, but also the minutes leading up to that point, which means, as the Gemara puts it, Gavra Duchuyohi V'ein Ra'u. He was not in a fit state to daven, and therefore V'ein Tfilosoi Tfilo. And what about the second opinion, says the Gemara? Umar Sovar, no. The other opinion holds that Gavra Chaziyahu. What does Chaziyah mean? Fitting. The other opinion says, I only look at the actual moment when the Meir HaGlaim was leaving the Guf. But in the moment leading up to that, as far as I'm concerned, he is considered Gavra Chaziyah. He is in a fit state to daven, and therefore the Tfilosoi Tfila. Therefore, the first part of the Shmoneh Esrei constitutes a perfectly valid tefillah, and he only has to resume from where he left off. Let's see Rashi. Says Rashi, on the second narrow line, Gavra Dechuya Hi, Keshehizchil Lehispalel, when he began davening, V'hoyotzorich limakovov, and he needed to relieve himself, as became evident by the fact that he could no longer hold it in. So it turns out that when he began davening right from the outset, he already then knew and felt that he would need to relieve himself. Dochui hu milehispalel. Dochui hu milehispalel means he is rejected from davening. That renders him unfit for davening, hilkoch, and therefore, mashe spalel, that which he davened, eino tfilo. Is not considered to be a tfilo, and therefore, v'chayzer l'roish, and therefore, he would have to go back all the way to the beginning. So what does the second hold? The second opinion holds that no. Umar sovar gavra chazia. Afal pi, even though she'eino yochoil lahamtin, even though he was not able to wait till the end of davening, as you see, that he could no longer hold his in. Ad shi yistayim tfilosoi. He was not able to wait until he completed his tfilah, comma. Nonetheless, tfilosoi re'uyo hi. The tfilah is still considered a fitting, valid tfilah. Masha his fallel, that which he davened, koidem shasisa. Shasisa is that word we had on the previous omer, shasisa's pouring. Before the mayim began pouring out, that part of the tefillah is considered to be a perfectly valid tefillah. Now, there is going to be, we'll see this in Mr. Shem tomorrow, there is going to be a discussion in the Gemara coming up in the next line, more concerning this halacha. And this is, by the way, extremely negeya halacha l'maisa. If somebody feels that he needs to go to the bathroom, is he allowed to begin davening? And it will depend on how urgently he feels that he needs to go. How long is he able to keep it in? But before we see that discussion, we need to now address the question that was raised before, that everything we've been discussing until this point is only with regards to not davening at the actual moment that the Meir HaGlaim is emanating from the guf, being emitted from the guf. But what happens afterwards? So we've got a discussion, you go back to the beginning, you carry on where you left off, 1 second. But if there's Meir HaGlaim around him, doesn't that also pose a problem? So this is going to be the discussion of Pesach. So now, by way of introduction, we need to see this little Pesach at the bottom of Chof Beis on the base. But there's a very, very important phrase that Tosfos mentions, and we need to define this, because this is a phrase that comes up in hundreds of places. Whenever we talk about a liquid being absorbed into a beged, for example, or on your guf, for example, we always distinguish between how damp is the dampness. In many areas of halacha, not only with regard to what we're talking about today, this has many, many ramifications in Hilchos Tumah and Shabbos and several areas of halacha. How damp is damp? And we always make a distinction between there exists the type of dampness which is wet enough to make something else wet. So if you imagine you've just washed your hands for Netilas Yodayim. Your hands are dripping wet. They are obviously wet enough to make something else wet. If you now touch a table, you'd see droplets of water on the table. There is, however, a lower stage of dampness, which is albeit damp, but not damp enough to make something else wet. So imagine if you've just washed your hands in Atilus Yodayim, you have not yet dried them, but the droplets have all run off. Is his hand wet? It might well be damp, but if you would touch the table, you would not see droplets of water on the table. His hands are not wet enough to make something else wet. Those two levels of dampness, one of them is mentioned in Tosfos, is what's called toifeach, wet, almanath lahatpiach, able to make something else wet, as opposed to toifeach, which is unable to be lahatpiach. Now, back to our discussion. We need to distinguish, and you actually need to finish the shiur a little bit early, so I need to stop now, but we'll see this tomorrow, Mitz Hashem. We need to work out the various possibilities. Where did this Meir HaGlaim end up? did it end up on the floor, or did it end up on his goof or on his baguette? And if it did end up on his goof or on his baguette, so it can't just disappear. If it's on the ground, then maybe it got absorbed into the floor. But if it's on his clothes, for example, then we need to now know how wet are his clothes. And this goes back to our definition. What's the definition of wet? So when Tosfos talks in the Chabesim and based on the bottom Tosfos about that there's no Tosfeach al Manas lehatpiach, what he means is the clothes may indeed be damp, but not wet enough to make something else wet. That's a low level, halachically viewed, of dampness. So with that introduction, I think this Tosfos should be able to be understood. And Mr. Hashem will begin with this Tosfos tomorrow morning. So I have to finish a little bit early, but we'll continue Mr. Hashem tomorrow.
Wonderful day, everyone.
It's good. Okay. Yep.